I'm ready to cut.
Hey everyone, I'm Blaine, host of Taking It Down and editor-in-chief of the Alabama Tech website that produces this podcast and other fine assortments of fun. On today's episode, we plan on talking about the new music that we've recently heard and the most recent episode of the Disney Plus show Loki, which is an episode called The Variant. Not only do we have fun thoughts, interesting thoughts, we hope, on music and television, we've got our co-hosts filled to the brim with happiness and excitement. Here they are, Adam Morrow, Donovan Reinwald. Adam's back.
It overfloweth, the joy, the excitement.
I know that all of you out there in listener land can't see this, but Adam has never looked more like someone who listens to the Grateful Dead than he does right now.
Is that true? See, I have longer hair, and I have to make a decision about how I wear my headphones. If you pull them from the back, all your hair goes forward, and if you pull them from the front, and I had pulled them from the back, and apparently this has caused a spectacle in Donovan's eyes.
It's just like, before it was like, I wonder if that gentleman listens to the Grateful Dead. Now I'm like, can you give me recommendations on their best live, you know?
Is this more respectable?
I like it better the other way.
All right.
I thought it had more to do with the touch of gray you had in your hair.
The touch of gray.
Hey. I'm into the gray. I welcome the touch of gray. But Donovan, don't start there when you start listening. Don't start with touch of gray.
Where do I start?
Yep. I love touch of gray.
Where do I dive in, y'all?
Europe 72.
Okay. I'm going to have to do more driving now. Maybe that's going to be what gets me into it.
Just report back next week. I would love to hear Donovan. Donovan and the Dead. Our summer series.
Europe 72.
Yes.
I will listen to... Listeners, you can't see this, but I'm opening
Spotify. He's jotting it down. Oh, you're just going to save it.
I'm going to download it.
The Dire Wolf will get him.
Yeah.
Europe 72. All right. Live. 2001 remaster.
Yeah.
There's a little man smashing an ice cream cone on his head.
Yeah. It's real goofy. It's real fun.
There's a beer company up here that uses that logo for a very distinct enough so you don't get sued, but it's the same thing for one of their beers.
And now you're in. You're on the inside.
I gotta drive around. Oh, man.
Perfect setup for this week. We've got news from Stereo Gum, I think, released this news that Peter Jackson's Beatles documentary will now be streamed on Disney Plus. This show is going to be 3 episodes that air over consecutive nights during Thanksgiving break, and they appear to be about 2 hours each. Adam, you were more than stoked for this news.
Over the moon for this news. The trailer for this is one of the most exciting things that I've seen this year. I mean, that the footage of them, because this is supposed to be a session that was very, the end of the line, kind of sad, and they're all mad at each other, and it was no fun, and there was so much joy in the footage that they found of them goofing around. I mean, I'm also a dork that listens to, like, you know, for years you've been able to go and find the special edition Pet Sounds, where you can listen to, like, all the alternate takes, and you can hear Brian Wilson interrupt and say, like, no, do it this way. Hal, hit it this way. And it's like, he explains to him how to start the song, Wouldn't It Be Nice? It's like, I love this stuff. So,
yeah,
to see that much footage of, I think, the greatest collective, like, hive mind to ever exist in modern music, to see them do their thing, I mean, that's going to be killer. All the gear, all the conversations, I'm in. I love it. And I would have sat in a movie theater for this long. Gladly. I thought Peter Jackson, he's not going to be afraid to make at least a 2.5 hour film, right? I mean, we've all seen Lord of the Rings. He's unascared of it. But watching it from the comfort of home, a series like this, I think this is perfect.
I do too. It's reminiscent to me of the anthology that aired on ABC in the early 90s, which I recorded on VHS. And watched a few times. I watched more than once. It reminds me a little of that. I'm a little worried that it's constantly packaged as an answer to the doom and gloom version of what we know of this era of the Beatles. I think it needs that to be a good balance. I don't want it all sunshine and happiness and goofy, because that feels a little unrealistic. So maybe we'll see some of that.
Yeah. Have you? Did you see They Shall Not Grow Old?
I thought it was
Mr.
fantastic.
Mr. Jackson's previous. Yeah, I was going to say, Mr. Jackson knows how to make a documentary.
Yeah.
So I'm that was my end to be like, I trust that he knows how to balance out the material. That whatever he does, it's going to be very intentional. He knows what he's doing.
There's no way that they were that happy for a total of 6 hours together at this point. So it can't be all goofy.
It is exciting. I wish it was airing right now, streaming right now.
And can I say this about the Thanksgiving air date? I am so glad that I don't have to hear about The Last Waltz on Thanksgiving this year, because we'll have another music thing to watch. I'm so tired. Every year, everybody's got to get real cute on social media. Oh, Last Waltz, Thanksgiving. Sick of it. It's a fine film. We all know Neil Young cost him millions of dollars to edit the cocaine bugs out of his nose. We get it. We know all the trivia. It's fine. Bring me the Beatles.
It's a good segue for us to talk about some new music. Still on the music wavelength. Here at the podcast, we don't delve deeply into music often, but what we do is every few months, we tend to come around on new music, reserve a segment in the show for new tunes that are making us happy and tickling our ears. So let's just go around. I've got a few, and I think we each have a few at least. I'll get us going. The first one, and I think Donovan will probably have a little bit to add to this, is the Japanese Breakfast album, Jubilee. It's sort of a little all over the place, but a lot of 80s influence as far as sounds, but it's the best way possible, all over the place. It touches on a lot of different sounds, yet still maintaining a feel of an album. I think it's pretty good. Donovan, you have probably more to say.
I think that not really. I think that's a really good summation of it, the way you described it. And it is an album that I know she made after kind of going through some rough stuff, like her mother died, that sort of thing. But the second track, when it hits, it hits and it gets kind of big. Be Sweet. Mm-hmm. It has that sound like, wow, someone discovered the 80s, but like in a good, fun, mm-hmm. joy. It feels like big pop music that is at the same time like able to be intimate and not overwhelming.
Good 80s music in a modern indie light.
And her other albums are definitely worth checking out too, because they don't sound anything like this.
Okay, cool.
Not really. So yeah, this is sort of a, I felt like it was sort of a departure from her previous stuff, but her previous stuff was good too, and this is good.
Good to know.
I'm going to go with my Homer pick first, an old reliable. His Golden Messenger has a record coming out this week. It's June 25th, and has not been shy about putting out singles in the lead up to it. And a few of those singles are, I think, some of the best stuff he's ever done. He's a super prolific fella, and sometimes you wonder, you know, people who manage to make like three albums in a year, you're kind of like, should this have been one really great album instead of three that needed editing? I don't think that's really the case with him. I think he's got a lot of good stuff. He's a part of a really interesting community to me that kind of ties in with favorites of the show, Bonnie Light Horseman, and that whole world of producers and players and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's called Quietly Blowing It. I think the latest single is Glory Strums, Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. It's an incredible song. I was driving across various southern states over the last 10 days or so, and it, you know, that summer hazy thing that happens in June in Alabama where everything's very lush still and not overbearingly hot, and the sun's kind of going down. I was like, yeah, this is, he got it. So super, it's nothing unpredictable. It grooves like all his other music does, has some Americana tinge stuff, but I think he's one of the best guys playing that game right now.
Hey, where's that guy from?
He is based in Durham, North Carolina now.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Good.
He's from that area too, isn't he? I guess
he's a California guy who moved.
He is. Okay. I thought he was in North Carolina.
And he's plugged in, putting his records out on Merge and part of that whole scene.
Yeah.
So
there's a high level of output, and most of those albums are pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good stuff there.
Right. which is, like I said, I think an impressive feat. Most of the time you think you needed an editor or a producer or something, and not the case with him most of the time.
You know, when Guided by Voices goes through a stretch, when they put out like six albums in 6 months, it's like, okay.
Come on, fellas.
Yeah. We know what you... Yeah. Like, these albums are good, are all both very good and very bad at the same time. This is by design. You do this.
Yeah.
Don't inflict it on me.
Right.
Donovan, you're up. What you got for new tunes?
Well, I got me this French one that I shared with y'all the other day. It is, and I have no idea how I'm going to describe it. The album is Bye Bye Baby, and the band is Requin Chagrin.
Spell it for our listeners.
Thank you. It is Requin, and then Chagrin is Chagrin.
And it is French.
And it's French. It's all in French. And it's just kind of, I don't know, like groovy indie rock, if that makes sense. Like, it's got a good beat. It's got good hooks, good energy. Doesn't overstay its welcome. You know, we're under the 40-minute mark here. And for some reason, I just found myself, I don't even have, like, one, because it's in French, they all kind of blended together for me, so... I didn't even necessarily have one song that I just hold up above all others. I just found myself wanting to listen to this record over and over, you know? I'm hopping in the car, flipping through what I've got downloaded. Oh, here we go. So I figure anything that makes me want to feel like... anything that makes me want to listen to it over and over like that is probably worth a recommendation. I thought it was pretty fun.
That opening track's a good place to start for anybody.
Absolutely. It pretty much plays its cards right up front. You know, if you like that, you're gonna like the album.
I agree. I thought it was good. So my second pick is Rostam. I guess that's his name. He is used to be heavily involved with Vampire Weekend. Was one of the band members and producers for that band, and he's gone solo. And this is one of his solo albums, maybe his second full solo album, but he's done a lot of solo work. It's called Change Phobia. I think it's a leap forward from this previous work. I did think that previous work had a few good songs on it that I really liked, but this one feels and sounds a little more cohesive. I think that he's working with a bit of a theme here, and there are some really jarring starts and stops to songs that shouldn't work but do. Good indie pop-ish rock. So, yeah, I like his stuff. And I think I'm growing to like his stuff more and more. So,
interesting guy. Interesting choice to leave, like, one of the biggest indie bands for a solo career and, like, a producer's career. But,
and I'm gonna say that I think I like his solo stuff better than I like Vampire Weekend without him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So. I'll go with, let's say, with Donovan's theme and maybe a little of a Vampire Weekend theme in a way they are fleeing from constantly, and go with Mdou Mokhtar, Afrique Victime.
Spell the name of the artist for everyone. That's one of those that needs spelling again.
Mdou Mokhtar. He's from Touareg, which is on the edge of the Saharan Desert.
I mean, yeah, of course. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows where that is. Come
right,
on.
Yeah. But he plays in this style of guitar that is, if you're a student of African guitar, you would recognize as being part of that world.
Student. I've taught the course.
It's a really fun record. It's a really, maybe if I understood all of the words that he was saying, I would hesitate more than I just did to say fun. I know it is I think the title is indicative that he, you know, he's given interviews before to like The Guardian on his last album cycle and said, we are modern day slaves, that kind of thing, of economic oppression, of conditions in Africa that we would, you know, this collision of like there's incredible art, but also we as Westerners can take that and leave the rest of their problems dehumanized in our minds. You know what I mean? I think there's a bit of talk about that. Definitely a socially aware record, in addition to being just a really good jam. Like, the band is just killer and it sounds great. And he seems to be having his moment, which I think is well-deserved.
Well, I'll follow up with what Adam shared with not a new album, but new to me. The band, a friend just said, listen to this band and hear David Byrne weep. And the band is Hallelujah Chicken Run Band. The title of the album is Take One. And it sounds great, right? Like this, they're from Zimbabwe. And this is the kind of stuff that, like, you know, like Talking Heads and all that, that this is what they're drawing on. And I guess this out, there's a whole like kind of political history to this album too, as it was created and released during Zimbabwe's struggle from the, you know, to not be Rhodesia, a minority white dominated state. And so there's a whole social and political history behind this album about how these guys are using, like, learning to use their traditional songs and instrumentation stuff in this new way. They're creating totally new kind of music. Also, the album's just a jam. It's super fun.
Say the name of the album one more time.
The name of the album is Take One, and the band is the Hallelujah Chicken Run Band.
I think what we'll do is I'll tweet out and on Facebook post a compiled Spotify playlist of all these.
Perfect.
To go with this. And it'll come from my personal account. So look for Blaine Duncan, I think is how it's created in Spotify. And you can see all of these artists. We got a few more, though. Awesome. You guys are in foreign countries. I'm going to go foreign country, too, with an Alabama artist. Totally foreign to a lot of people. Pine Hill Haints released an album a couple of months ago, the song Companion of a Lone Star Cowboy. It's really energetic, upbeat, fun. It's a fun listen. I admire how they use their instruments for a purpose rather than just a sound. And it's also impressively thematic. So if you've heard the Pine Hill Haints, this is not going to be an incredibly new sound, but it's just a good album. It's good. It's got good energy. It's fun.
Talk about Take One, too. They did all of this in like 2 days. It did not take them long to do it.
And it does not sound like that. It sounds live, but it doesn't sound thrown together.
Right.
Right?
Well, what a great Alabama band. And possibly...
Legendary.
Yeah.
Say, they've been around for quite some time now.
They've got to have been around 20 or 25 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I think they're all great. I think Jamie is a good dude. Are we to me? Are we back around?
Yes, sir.
So I'm gonna pull a Donovan here, and this is my last entry. There is it's now a label called Awesome Tapes from Africa. It started as a blog collection where this guy was going around. Go find the blog if you have not seen this before. He was a grad student in Africa and started going around to flea markets and buying up old records and tapes and all this kind of stuff, and was blown away by things that he'd never heard of before, and started a mission to find the artist or their families if they were old enough tapes and the people had passed away. Not only document it, you could listen for free to a lot of this on his blog. It's like just an insanely dense collection of music, but some of the ones that really stood out and that he was able to find the families of, or the artists themselves, he put the records out, reissued them, and made sure that they got money for it, which probably had not happened before. Who knows what kind of recording contracts they signed back in the day. But they just put out, or he just put out, that label put out, a record called Tazita by Helu Mergia and the Walias. This is an Ethiopian combination, a very famous Ethiopian keyboard player who's actually now based in D.C. is Helu Mergia. They were, him along with this band, the Walias, were the house music at a Hilton hotel in Ethiopia, and they would back up other Ethiopian artists who would come through, and this was recorded. You know, Ethiopia has a window of artistic renaissance between horrible dictatorships and political upheaval, all this stuff. But that window, a lot of just really in the 70s. Incredible music came out of that. And this is all instrumental, or instrumental for the most part, and I think it's really, really great, really lovely.
Is this the guy you turned me on to who's playing like a Fender Rhodes a lot? It sounds like a Fender Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's got
some
that
of the,
sound.
Yeah, and some of it is maybe even a little electronic keyboard plinkier at times.
Right, right.
But it's really cool. It sounds really good.
And it's so cool to hear something about, I don't mean to be an asshole, but it's cool to hear something about Ethiopian music. The only thing I've ever heard about the culture of Ethiopia is maybe their food and then just really racist and bad jokes, you know?
Well, the...
About the right. The climate. The literal
disasters.
Climate. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Ethiopian food, also incredible, but the...
Yeah.
There's some great, if you're into that, those Ethiopiques collections are really, these are included, these artists are included in that often. This was the first time this recording had been reissued like this, but if you wanted to dig through those, that is a gold mine on Spotify. Highly recommended.
I think I will be.
Yeah.
What you got, Donovan? You got another one?
What's next?
Oh, man, do I have another one? That's a good question. I've been trying to think of what I've been listening to lately, and I haven't listened to a ton of new stuff, but I did realize that the latest, is it what, the Weather Station, their last album,
mm-hmm.
It's all about global warming, so it's super cheery,
mm-hmm.
came out. And it's actually, it's fun that the title of the album is Ignorance, the band is The Weather Station, and she kind of was set the challenge to herself to be like, I want to write about climate change and impending disaster, but not from a stance of hopelessness. So being neither naive about it, being realistic about what it means, but not being hopeless, which is a kind of like, I think people sort of, that's an intervention folks need. Lord knows I need it. See a way through this kind of stuff. So it's a very, and on top of that, it sounds good. Like she's good at doing music.
That's a challenging goal to set for yourself.
I think so. It's good. It's a good album.
I've got a few more. I'll rattle them off fairly quickly. The first is Valerie June's new album. It came out this year, I think. The Moon and Stars, Prescriptions for Dreamers. It's a nice continuation of what she's done previously, perhaps this time with more depth. I'm usually drawn to music albums that are thematic, and this one feels like it, especially with that kind of title. You would expect a little bit of a theme, and the notes inside even label them as, you know, what kind of song you're listening to in a way that she had envisioned.
You like in the liner notes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's always interesting.
With the lyrics.
Yeah. Another thematic album that just came to mind when you said that, almost cinematic, is the new Lord Huron record. You guys ever listen to them? It's pretty.
Never
it's
have.
Old Todd Bean turned me on to that one. This one's called Long Lost. It came out at the end of May. That was one that slipped my mind in the rounds there, but you said thematic, and it is very sound design themes running throughout, almost... like storytelling, world building kind of stuff, the way that it operates, which is always a gamble, and I think it paid off in this case. So yeah, recommend that one.
I got three more. I'll just shout them out real quick. The Blips, Birmingham supergroup, that self-titled album, solid, just solid rock, just straightforward, solid rock from needle drop to finish. The Williamson Brothers. Friends of ours, but still made some really great music. I'm a big fan of their self-titled album that just came out. A lot of fun, a lot of rock.
Shout out to that episode of a take that you did with Blake. That was great.
Oh,
Blake's
yeah,
so funny.
Yeah. He's so much fun to talk to, just like in real life. But yeah, I'm happy he did the show too. And the last one is a lady named, she goes by the name of May Rio, M-A-Y, and then second word Rio. She's from the band The Poppies, which is kind of vaguely familiar to me. great indie rock. I think she only has a few singles out right now, but what we'll do is we'll put those on the playlist as well. Find those. I'll link them, but find them from my account, Blaine Duncan, and we'll call it Taking It Down the Summer 2021, something like that. So it'll be pretty easy to know what you're listening to. And with that, we'll go to a break. Got you some tunes, set you up, and we're going to talk second episode of Loki very briefly on the other side. Okay, here we are at mid-show break, and I'm just here to say we thank you for listening. Our listenership is gathering, so if you're a regular weekly listener, let us know. If you're new to the podcast, let us know that too. If you're interested in contributing to these budding projects that the Alabama Take is burgeoning, you should reach out. Contact us at thealabamatake@gmail.com. This podcast in particular, Taking It Down, out every Tuesday morning really early. Leave us a review or a rating in your podcast app if you could be so kind. Good news for fans of This Song Sucks podcast. Really good news for you this week. Horrible news for people who hate Hayden and Josh.
I'd say bad news for everyone else.
Everyone else, bad news. The bonus season one recap episode of This Song Sucks drops this Thursday. And then later on in the summer and fall, you'll get season two of This Song Sucks. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Those are hilarious.
I have taped one of my first episodes with them already for season two.
And
the hot takes are hot. I mean, just...
They're steaming, man.
They're steaming, and it's, you know, people...
Don't touch them without mitts.
That's right. People, a few folks have brought up how much they enjoy the show, and one,
yes.
Thank you, but two, I'm like, us? Her?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
They'll say something nice about Hayden and Josh, and I just don't get it.
Not me either. It's a mystery to me.
I don't get it at all.
And lastly, there are things to see and read over on the Alabama Take website. For example, every Friday, we mentioned it, the talk show Short Takes airs a new episode. You can find that on our site or on our YouTube channel, either one. Coming this Friday on Short Takes is Jamie Barrier himself of the Pine Hill Heights. I sat and talked to him. It's a good interview. He's a thoughtful guy. Interesting discussion. Let's get back into Taking It Down. Okay, we're back. Here we are. We have Natalie in the third chair, which is awesome. Natalie's back to talk some more Loki.
No applause, Blaine.
What?
No applause?
You know what? So we have the ability to insert noises, as you can imagine, but... I don't know. I keep forgetting we have that ability. So,
like, you can be like, Natalie's in the chair.
I know.
Yeah, like, everyone's so happy. We're excited.
Maybe he's just not that excited.
I am.
Not worth the effort.
Yeah, Blaine's keeping it bottled up inside. That's terrible for you, by the way. That's going to raise your blood pressure.
You're telling me. So we're going to talk Disney Plus / MCU television entry for Loki. It's the second one. If you haven't seen it, we're probably going to spoil it right off the bat. So go watch it and then come back. It's called The Variant. And let's just dive in. Thoughts on The Variant? Anybody want to pick it up, or you want me to toss you a question?
This has almost gotten the bad taste from Falcon and Winter Soldier out of my mouth. Instead of dreading the next episode, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
You didn't like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I didn't realize that.
It was very meh. I think okay. We kind of went through, you know, tried to do too much. It was kind of meh. As Natalie pointed out, Wakanda did Falcon dirty with that suit.
Right.
It was just, it wasn't super fun. It wanted to be fun and it wasn't fun. And this show is fun. So far, I think.
Did you guys notice the... So last week when we talked, Blaine did a lot of Owen Wilson impressions.
Yes.
In case you don't remember that. But this week, Owen Wilson did a Blaine impression. Straight up quoted him when he said, "You literally stab people in the back."
Yes, he did. And I said that last week.
You did.
Yeah, that hit me when he said that. I've forgotten. But yeah, when I watched it the other day, that hit me.
They're taking notes.
Yeah. So episode two, The Variant, it felt even more exposition-y than the previous entry. But like we said that last week, they've cast the right actors so that the exposition parts never feels like a drag. they had a couple of these long scenes where they were just sitting at a table and explaining time to one another and how time works in the MCU or is probably going to work. That confused the hell out of me. Did anybody understand that stuff?
I don't think
you're really supposed to.
How they were like, you know, this timeline will branch and then this will create and we have to go in and destroy and it'll back it up. Or...
I thought another reason that this... that this episode, even though it was exposition-y, worked is because they did a really good job of playing it like cop show tropes. Even at the beginning of like, he's got his feet up on his desk reading his jet ski magazine.
Somebody compared this to that, gosh, I can't remember the director, but the Before Midnight trilogy that Ethan Hawke.
Linklater?
Yeah. Where it's just like the walk and talk. Like that's what's happening with these two episodes, but it's fine because the actors are so good at it and it's compelling. So it's like, yeah, just talk me through it. You don't have to show me anything. I'm fine with that.
It kind of reminded me of some of the like setup episodes of The Wire, where you're learning how things work, and they're walking you through the environment and the situation. But yeah, these guys are very good at bouncing off of each other.
I called it exposition-y, I guess, about the last third of the episode did have them going to, I guess, what was supposed to be a Gulf Shores, Alabama place.
Alabama.
That's not a real town in Alabama.
You know, they were getting, it was starting to get like, I feel like Disney was finally starting to admit themselves that the latter half of the 20th century might be a little bleak, or the 21st century.
Oh, yeah.
A little bleak. As they start rolling,
we're
going
to go to
the
future where
disasters.
Hurricanes destroy and kill people. You know, not that they don't already, but like even worse. That felt kind of ominous.
It was kind of scary and also like not super what I'm used to from a Disney or Marvel, which are usually more optimistic. Like, well, we're going to fix these things.
So a little more tension and almost action in those scenes with this variant Loki. Who turns out to be a female version of him, which I was happy about. I'm happy that it's not going to be Hiddleston v. Hiddleston as a climax, you know, because we've seen that with Captain America v. Captain America, and, you know, we've kind of seen something like that.
Maybe they'll do a face-off.
What do you think about Lady Loki, as the internet's probably going to call her? Natalie, what do you think about Lady Loki?
Well, I'm already questioning if she actually is a Loki. Because there's rumor about her possibly being a different character called, like, Enchantress or something like that. I'm excited about it either way. I think it's going to be, I hope episode 3 is basically, you know, Loki talking to Mobius, whatever his name is. But it's just, instead, I just want him talking to whoever this lady is. Just give me more chit-chat. I'm fine with that. I hope that's what... Just sit them across from a table across from each other, and that'd be great. But yeah, I don't... I'm of the camp that this is not a Loki at all.
Your predictions have proven true in the past.
Well, I'm good at interneting, so...
Yeah. Donovan, what did you think about Lady Loki and...
Fun surprise. I could be convinced, too, that it's not really Loki. The power set seems a little different. Stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll have to learn a little more.
He follows her into the portal, so it's got to... They're going to interact.
And I tell you what, the ending of that episode did a good job of making me feel... You know, sometimes you're watching TV and you're like, they say the stakes are high, but whatever. This one was exciting. Like, the timeline's imploding. Everyone's freaking out.
Yep. Everybody Loki, back at Control Center was...
Loki's in the wind. You know, like, I want to see the next episode, darn it.
Had I had the opportunity to hit play on the next episode, I would have immediately.
Same here.
One thing I'm a little worried about.
The jet
ski. Okay, that's exactly where I'm going with this, sort of. They've promised the time god so heavily at this point that I'm afraid whatever they end up doing with them, showing them, not showing them, talking to them, it's going to be a little disappointing.
I'm completely blank because all I can think of are the ones from the DC universe right now, so I have nothing useful to say.
I'm almost expecting like a huge cameo playing them or something, or something weird.
Like they finally get Barack Obama to do a...
Well, he's the only person that is not in the MCU at this point.
Something like that.
Yeah. He and the First Lady. And in that same vein, talking about those jet skis, I think it's a little too predictable now that we're going to see Owen Wilson, his character, Mobius, probably going to become a human citizen so he can ride a jet ski.
He's going to be a real boy?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where that's going too, which feels a little predictable, a little too, hey, we already talked about it, so you expect it kind of thing. I don't know. I prefer it to be a little more surprising, but those are minor gripes so far. What do you think?
Do y'all think that Owen Wilson, I'm not going to remember his character's actual name.
It's Mobius.
Mobius. Did you think Mobius is a human?
He could be.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
He's got personality.
But what does that mean? What does that mean if he is? That he got sucked into this job and he can't get, what's the deal?
I mean, there's questions of, is he a clone? Is he, you know, the whole scene with him and Judge Lady with the name again that I don't remember in her mm-hmm. office when he's just like, do you have other agents working for you? Like, are there just a lot of Mobiuses with different weird names? I don't know. Like, who's bringing her these different trinkets from different parts on the timeline? Maybe there's a bunch of them, or maybe he just keeps getting reset. What's the deal?
It did feel like a huge tease on another agent. And you're right, it could play out that it's just a version of him. Interesting.
You know what I really liked in this episode, too? Is they said out loud something I'd been thinking, which is basically, if you're in the TVA, where Loki says, we are the only people in the world who are truly free. Which is kind of a huge thing. I kind of hope they play with that a little more, because it is kind of, you know... It's big, yeah. And they brought it up.
Yeah.
And Loki seemed to, like, that seems like catnip for him, right? For Loki. Because he doesn't want to be tied down to anyone, right? Like, he wants to be in charge. What does he want? He wants to be free, of course. Free to do whatever he wants.
Any final thoughts on this week's episode?
Well, I hope he gets his jet ski soon. I can't do it. I was trying.
That was really bad.
You guys made fun of me so much last week.
It was great.
You gotta start with the wow, and that kind of sits you
wow,
up, too.
Wow, I hope I get to ride on my jet ski.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah. No, Blaine's much better.
I'm looking forward to Owen Wilson dropping a wow in this show.
What if he doesn't the entire time? No wows.
Another one of those things that they're kind of promising, but may not pay off.
What if we get like a whoa, but not a wow?
I'll take a whoa.
I want my money back.
I bet when he sees the time gods, he goes, wow.
Dear Bob Iger, I subscribe to Disney Plus in hopes of an Owen Wilson wow. Okay. Well, that's it for this week, folks. You can support everything Alabama Tate related in a few ways. Visit our online shop and merch visit our online shop for goods and merch by clicking on shop. Or if you just want to help out with the website, you can click on donate. Give you a couple ways to do that if you need or want. We need, you might want. We'll talk to everyone next week, bright and early Tuesday morning. Love to you all. See ya.